folks, and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle, The Ben Show. I am your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck. We say this each week. We do love hearing from all of you. Your comments, stories, ideas, get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to bendradioshow@gmail.com. Ride along, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, this last week, in case you missed it, it was National FFA Week, and I thought I would highlight a little bit for those of you that don't know who may have been some famous alumni over the years. I found this fascinating, actually. How about our 39th president, Jimmy Carter? Then the great Johnny Cash, Charlie Daniels. What about the rocker John Mellencamp?
Oh, John Cougar Mellencamp.
Willie Nelson. Can you imagine being in FFA with Willie Nelson? Don Henley of the Eagles. And then what about King George Strait? Cody Johnson, Tim McGraw, the one and only Taylor Swift.
Oh, for the Swifties out there. That one surprised me that Taylor Swift was on the list for some reason.
Yeah, when she moved to Tennessee for her record label, she was, remember, only in her early teens, like 13, 14 years old, she joined a Tennessee branch of FFA.
Oh, that's right, because she started in the country music genre before she switched over. And
Correct. Famous people, Bo Jackson, the sports legend, country music singers Brentley Gilbert, Trace Atkins, Easton Corbin, Chancey Williams. Then what about Jim Davis? He was the creator of the Garfield comics. And then thinking about rodeo legends, Lane Frost, Tuff Hedeman, and then the cowboy poet, Baxter Black himself. And I'm waiting for Tigger to say, but there's one more on there.
Are you waiting for the most famous?
If I could do a drum roll, I would.
FFA Jeff alumni.
Tigger Earhart.
Bam.
Jeff Tigger Earhart. Yes, you're an alumni. If I got this right, you're also an honorary chapter farmer.
Yes.
And you were an FFA livestock judging coach.
Yep, for a few years. And I was a coach for the chapter that I was a member of in high school.
Oh, wow.
So kind of went back home and I was a livestock judging coach for a while.
So do you still have your blue jacket?
Yeah, it's hanging down in the shop in the closet.
Are you serious?
Yes. Okay, so you asked me if I had some pictures of me in FFA. I know that there was like newspaper clippings and stuff, but I have zero. So I will go and I will don my FFA jacket. I'm positive it's down in the shop.
Are you positive it's still going to fit?
I'm not positive about that. Because remember when I tried to try on my old football jerseys?
It didn't
and
go
I was
well.
Like, oh, did I get these over shoulder pads?
Yeah, that didn't go well.
As soon as we go to commercial break, I will quick run down to the shop. I will see if that still fits.
Okay, so and isn't there a ceremony or something like when you get your blue jacket, or is it called something?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I thought there was.
So you were not an FFA member, apparently.
No, I'm a farm and ranch kid. I am the daughter
but
of a former FFA former FFA member.
Did they have FFA in your high school?
No, our school was too small. And actually, my dad, he went to the college because, I mean, he did graduate from college and such. And he went to find out what it would take for him to be an advisor. And he would have to take a couple of extra classes. And he just didn't have the time ranching full time. So, nope, I didn't get to do FFA.
FFA is one of those youth organizations, holds a very near and dear place in my heart. I remember going to National Convention. At the time, if this rings any bells for those of you listening, ours were in Kansas City, was where we went to National Convention. Many, many, many great memories.
Okay, so what would you say to today's youth about FFA? Because the world has become so much more urban. A lot of folks are now 2-3 degrees away from the farmer ranch. Would you say there's been a resurgence, though, in FFA?
Oh, 1,000%. Like the chapter that I was in high school, and of course, not the same advisors they have now, but it is the most active chapter in the state, or it was anyway. Don't quote me on that, but I know in the last few years, based on the percentage of kids in the high school versus were actually FFA members.
Oh, wow.
And I would absolutely say if you have the opportunity to join FFA as a freshman in high school, do it. It's not just about cows and sows. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff going on in FFA in today's day and age.
And what you're saying is you do not have to come from a farming or ranching background whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
This is just a great way to build networking.
All those, you know, they say you learn these skills that you need as an adult. And I'm going to say the youth need them out more than ever. Communication and being part of an organization and all of these different competitions you can be in. And it is just a lot of fun.
All right. So there you go. You've got Tiggers and my stamp of approval. If you're looking for something this spring or definitely for next fall, encourage your kids, your grandkids, the neighbor kids, maybe. This might be a great organization for them to join, FFA. Now, in the news, for those of you that may be heading to Florida in the near future with spring break just around the corner, there's a new invasive predator, and it's spreading in South Florida, and it's a big one. It's called the Nile Monitor. A 6-foot-long lizard native to Africa is gaining ground in parts of the state. Wildlife officials say the species poses a serious threat to native animals, and it can now be killed year-round without a permit.
Well, yeah, of course it's a serious threat. It's a 6-foot lizard, for crying out loud.
Sounds like a dragon, right?
Serious threat to me in Florida. Continue.
Known for tackling invasive reptiles, trapper Mike Kimmel, also known as the Python Cowboy, describes the Nile Monitor as like a python mixed with an iguana. They're considered powerful, intelligent predators similar to the smaller Komodo dragon. On Florida's west coast, especially on Cape Coral, biologists have been battling the species for nearly 20 years. Hundreds have been trapped, but pockets remain. That's concerning because Cape Coral is also home to Florida's largest population of the threatened burrowing owl, which nests in the ground, making it vulnerable to predators like the Nile Monitor. These lizards are carnivores. They eat fish, frogs, birds, eggs, small mammals, even young crocodiles, and have been known to attack chickens and small pets.
And visitors to the state.
I know, I'm thinking about little kids, you know. They can grow up to 6.5 feet long, weigh nearly 20 pounds, run up to 18 miles per hour. What can run 18 miles per hour?
I'm gonna apparently a Nile Monitor can.
I may have to fact check this story on that little bit there. But regardless, they swim underwater for nearly an hour, and their ability to travel along canals and waterways has helped them spread. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission is actively removing Nile monitors and urges residents to report any sightings.
I don't even know what to say to that one. So if they can be hunted all year round, we talked about last year going to Florida as an option to go gator hunting.
Or iguana hunting.
We can go maybe iguana hunting. Apparently, well, maybe we'd have a little more luck. But here's the deal. If we'd be in Florida and I would come around the corner and there would be a 6-foot lizard that can go up to 18 miles an hour, can swim underwater for up to an hour, you said, I would do something involuntary and messy.
And I would be
grabbing all I got to say.
My phone as fast as I could and trying to video you to turn it into a viral reel.
I would be throwing you out of harm's way, Beck.
I see how you are there. All right, on
good
that note,
going.
We're going to take a short break. You're listening to The Ben Show. We'll be back right after this.
This is Jeff Tigger Earhart. Check this out, coming in 2026. RanchChannel.com proudly launches the Sales Series, your inside track to the world of livestock and ranching excellence. From elite bulls, heifers, and horses to the land and equipment, products, and programs shaping the future of agriculture, we bring you the stories behind the operations, the vision behind the genetics, and the focus that can elevate your herd. Whether you're building, expanding, or fine-tuning your ranch, dive deeper into the innovations and livestock programs changing the game. The Sales Series, only on RanchChannel.com, where smart ranching starts.
Welcome to Sire Buyer, a place where we connect cattlemen. The nation's number one destination for buying and selling breeding genetics. In-depth reviews and upbeat news on your favorite sires. Sire Buyer features the top Angus bulls across the country. Be sure to sign up to receive your directory by emailing info@sirebuyer.com. If you're looking for the best place in breeding genetics, you've just found it.
Is there that particular pair of boots or that shirt or pair of jeans that you just can't find anywhere else? Check out Medora Boot and Western Wear. Medora Boot and Western Wear is the go-to for boots, jeans, especially jackets, and even those hard-to-find accessories that make perfect gifts. Check out MedoraBoot.com, or better yet, give Kim a call at 701-623-1005 and tell Kim that Tigger and Beck sent you. For the latest in Western and outdoor practical and fashionable wear, there is only one: Medora Boot and Western Wear.
Welcome back to The Ben Show, your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle. I am Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck and Rylong, as always, is Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, last week, we shared some of my past adventures we'd not talked about before. I thought, let's flip the seat and chair around, and now let's put Tigger in the hot seat. And by the way, for those of you that don't know, he's going to be celebrating a birthday next week. Feel free to send him a message at happy birthday. All right, Tigger. Now, you've also traveled overseas.
But not near to the extent that you have.
Well, but
you are a seasoned traveler. I am not. I barely get down the street to go to a garage sale.
But you survived that garage sailing, okay, honey? You're good at that one. But years ago, you were telling me that you had an opportunity to head to the Philippines,
yeah,
and you jumped on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was part of the Asian International Auctioneers. For those of you that don't know, yes, I'm a licensed and bonded auctioneer. And I was part of a group. There was, one, two, three, four of us, I believe. And it was my debut. So it was my chance to go over to the Philippines to see if I would make the cut for the next time to go over to the Philippines. And we would, it was like 3-4 days, and we sold heavy equipment like excavators and bulldozers, kind of that heavy equipment, dump trucks. That's what we sold. And the Philippines there, it was actually in Subic Bay is where we were at, about 3.5 hours south of Manila.
And just to help everyone a little bit, too, the Philippines, by the way, they're located in Southeast Asia. They're in the Western Pacific Ocean, and they're right between, east of Vietnam and north of Indonesia. I just want to help folks out. Just so they're looking at the map, and they're like, where are the Philippines? Okay.
So what were we talking about?
You were saying where you were located, which Manila, which is the capital.
Yep. So they bring in this group, the AIA, the Asian International Auctioneers. There's buyers from all over the world that are procuring this heavy equipment. And the reason that they bring in the American auctioneers, of course, because we can talk fast, but mathematics and numbers is a universal language. It doesn't matter what language you are that you speak. 2 + 2 always equals 4, right?
Well, but my understanding, too, is in the Philippines, their language is Filipino and English. So that would make sense that they could comprehend.
Yeah. We spoke broken English with those people that were there. But interestingly enough, when we were over there, everything was sold by the peso.
Ah.
So it wasn't unusual to sell a excavator per se that was 6,855,000 peso. And it was very specific of how we actually sold, where we had to call out 3 times for the final bid. I had to do a lot of practicing at home and change my chant to be able to incorporate that particular style, because there was so many nationalities that were there and so many other countries. We had to sell a particular style. Every auctioneer had to sell the same. Does that make sense?
That does make the sense. And now I could see how there could be a big difference between the American auction style and if going at an international scale.
Right. So we all had to sell exactly the same way, even though our chants maybe were a little different, but the way that we presented an item, it had to be the same. It had to be very specific how we would call for the final bid, how we would call for the bid number. All of that was very, very, very specific. Every auctioneer had to do it exactly the same.
Okay, so what time of year did you go over to the Philippines?
I went, I figured this out, it was November 2006.
Coming up on 20 years.
20 years. Now, here's the deal with this, is I made the cut to go over and to get paid the big bucks to go over there the next time. I graduated and they said, yes, bring him back over. However, I ended up getting sick over there. And, you know, you never drink the water or anything. It's always bottled water, right? Well, after the last auction, it was really cool. We were in Subic Bay. It was the last day. And there was a floating bar that was out on the ocean. And, of course, no electricity. It was just this floating little barge, and it was a bar. And I ordered a drink, not thinking.
The ice.
Bam. And they had great big, these enormous blocks of ice, and they would just whack off a little chunk of ice, put that into your mixed drink. And I didn't think twice about it, and that was the sickest, is that the right word, sickest, most sick I've ever been in my life. I was so sick over there, I barely got through customs coming back home. And I was sick for about a month after I got home, just trying to get over that bug that was in me.
Oh, okay. Now that makes sense, because I know the Philippines is one of those countries that's noted that you do not drink the water.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be bottled and or filtered.
Yes, all the time. And I didn't even think of it, of ordering this mixed drink. I didn't even think twice about it. And that's what had to have made me so sick.
Well, and I've been in those shoes, too. I was in Mexico when I was in my teens and happened to just brush my teeth with water at a resort.
Oh, did you get sick?
And I was so sick. I mean, it was, I didn't leave the room for 2 days.
Yeah. And
so
my,
I understand where you could be saying, don't drink the water.
So my crew that I was with, we had, it was 3-4 days of auctions. And then I think we were there for 8 or 9 days. So they went and they partied and did all this, and they got to ride a killer whale or an orca. They did all this kind of stuff.
What?
Yeah, and I was in the hotel room for 4 or 5 days. I was so sick and finally came back home. And when I came through customs, let's see, we went to Manila to Tokyo on the way back and then flew over the top and landed in Minneapolis. When we came through customs, the one gal said, "Welcome home, Mr. Earhart." And I started bawling right there. Because it was
the most. Did you kiss the ground?
It was the most miserable experience. Now, and I have never gone back. I have never gone back after that. I was just so sick. I said, you know what? I don't want to be an international auctioneer.
Okay, but now it's been 20 years later. So, and you know how I love to travel, Tigger. What do I got to do to twist
what
that
I do
arm
it? I make,
and do
I
it
can
again?
Make a phone call. Because I've got buddies that they've gone over to Egypt.
What are we
Egypt.
Waiting for? Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? You've been holding out this whole time.
So I have gone someplace that you haven't.
You have.
Surprisingly.
And it is now on my list, and I feel like I have to go there.
I could show you the ropes as long as we don't order a mixed drink. I think we're fine. So that it was my international experience.
Speaking of international experiences, I think we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to be talking a bit about the shelter in place warnings we've been hearing about in Mexico. We're going to elaborate on that. So stay where you are. You're listening to The Ben Show. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, guys and gals. This is John Armin with Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV. Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV travels the back roads to the backwaters in pursuit of the ultimate adventure in hunting and fishing. Join Team UOA every week for exciting action in the crosshairs of the outdoors. Catch Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV on YouTube, Amazon Prime, and make sure to follow Team UOA on Facebook and Instagram to share in the ultimate outdoor adventure.
This is Beck. First, I appreciate all of you for listening and making The Bend part of your week. Many of you have asked, how do I catch past episodes? The answer is super easy. Head to thebendshow.com and click on the shows tab. There you can listen to every episode all the way back to episode one. Podcasters, head to your favorite podcasting app and search The Bend. You'll find us. Be sure to follow and subscribe and never miss another episode again.
If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop livestockmarket.com. Bred cows, heifers, pairs, bulls and frozen genetics, even feeder calves. You'll find them all at livestockmarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House and download the Livestock Market mobile app today.
Well, Welcome back to The Ben Show, your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. And right along, as always, is my co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, we've been talking about international travel, and this has also been the headline the last week. There's been a lot of shelter-in-place warnings, and I wanted to help out with minimizing some of that stress. I know a lot of us hear those kinds of warnings and immediately get shocked, start canceling travel plans, diverting different situations. So here's the deal. Last weekend, Americans were told to shelter in place following a Mexican drug lord's death on February 22nd. As a result, parts of Mexico have seen civil unrest in the wake of his death, including vehicles being torched and gunmen believed to have supported the deceased, blocking highways in more than a dozen Mexico states. This is a great reminder, folks, that anytime traveling beyond the U.S. borders, to utilize the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program. It's often called the STEP program, in case you've not heard about it. I've used this when I travel overseas. It's a free service to us U.S. citizens and nationals to enroll a trip abroad so that the Department of State can accurately and quickly contact you in a case of an emergency. So I'm bringing this up because it always blows my mind how many people might leave the country and didn't realize that we have some of these programs in place. Some of the benefits, by the way, of using this government program is it'll let you get updates about health, weather, safety, and of course, security for your destination. You can plan ahead using information from the local U.S. embassies. It also helps the embassy or consulate contact you if there was an emergency like a natural disaster, civil unrest, or a family emergency. Now, regarding, by the way, this Mexico, the shelter in place warning for us U.S. citizens, it is still saying to seek shelter and minimize unnecessary movements. They're saying avoid areas around law enforcement activity and to be sure to follow their page on X for status for road closures, as well as monitor local media for updates. Follow the directions of local authorities, and in case of an emergency, call 911 and be sure to keep family and friends advised of your location and well-being via phone, text, and social media. Now, this brings up another part of this, and that is where I want to try and diffuse some of the stress, worry. There's a lot of upcoming spring break travel happening, or maybe you're planning a trip soon and you're planning on leaving the United States.
You're going over the border to get dental work.
There you go.
We've talked about that. Breck and I have talked about that 1,000 times of going south to old Mexico to get some dental work done.
So, for example, another reason why you would want to enroll in a program like STEP under our government is because of the embassies and the consulates in Mexico. They're going to tell you which states and cities for sure that you need to avoid or not try to travel to. Like Tijuana, Mexico right now is on the list to avoid.
So when you enrolled in STEP, you said you did before. Is it an easy process?
Takes less than 20 minutes.
Okay, because this is the first time I've ever heard of that. So less than 20 minutes, you can get enrolled and get all the updates, and I'm sure text messages and all that.
I even did it when I went to Alaska because I had to fly through Canada. I had a layover. I got on the ship in Vancouver.
Makes sense.
I'm telling you, it's very easy to use, but this also, just to kind of help you, and I'm going to bring up these tips because it doesn't matter if you're going out of the country or even staying or going somewhere where weather might be an issue, as an example. These are things that Tigger and I have done, or maybe he's not realized that I do when we do travel. And that is wherever after, of course, if it's out of the country, like I said, make sure you register for the Smart Travel Enrollment Program. Next. All right. If you can, I always suggest packing snacks in your suitcase. I understand some places may say you cannot bring food or beverages, certain things into other countries. Make sure you read the proper paperwork. A lot of times, I mean, don't come at me if some gets taken away from you. A lot of times they'll just take away from you, though, at security. Now, a snack that I always pack with us is microwave popcorn. That's a big go-to for us, the individual wrapped bags, along with other small snacks that are in their individually packed packaging, original packaging from the manufacturer, I mean. And then here's the other other thing is make sure you're traveling with extra medications. People overlook this all the time. Along with those over-the-counter aids, such as like your cold and fever meds, it's really important, especially if you go somewhere that might be a little more hostile, that you have these meds in case of an emergency and you're told to shelter in place.
Look at what I was talking about earlier when I went to the Philippines and got so darn sick.
You would have loved some nausea meds right then.
I would have loved anything at that point.
Other thing is to make sure you stock your hotel room with extra bottled water along with those snacks. I'm always grabbing us bottles of water. A lot of times when you check into your hotel or resort, you can ask them, they might hand you a few bottles of water. But I'm telling you, over the years, I've seen it where we've had bad weather come through. We were just in Nashville. They had an ice storm. It was nice that we had some water and those snacks, bare minimum, so we didn't have to venture out in the weather, right? Just thinking ahead. Lastly, before you hit the skies or head anywhere, advise your family and friends always of a location, the length of your trip, and emergency contact information, not just your cell phone number. Let them know where you are staying at. And here's one last tip I do have for you. It might sound crazy, but you know those little pocket containers of Kleenexes, tissues that you can buy, you know, in the travel section, those little ones? If I travel out of the country, I will always have some of those with me. You might be surprised how many countries you have to pay for toilet paper. Just a few tips and tricks that I've had to learn the hard way. That's all for this week, folks. Remember to keep sending us in any questions you might have, comments, stories we need to share. That number you can call or text anytime is 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this show or want to hear past episodes, you can find them all on the website, thebendshow.com. Finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners out there that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me, Beck, all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Bend.